guys. You're listening to Rosie and BJ Save the World with Rosie Tran and BJ Mendelsohn. Guys, BJ is in studio.
I am. I was just going to say, I've never seen you like physically do it before. Like you got your hand on your hips and you're like, all right, let's see. Because I never really see you when I'm recording it.
Yes, so. BJ is visiting Los Angeles for a business / personal trip. And he's here in studio so we can actually talk about the important things. And I can stare into his real life eyes.
Right. And I'm also here to buy weed. Not from Rosie. Or maybe from Rosie. Because it's legal here in California and I get migraines. So that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
He's here live from New York City straight to the burbs of Los Angeles. Our topic today is a very important and controversial topic.
It is.
We're going to talk about sex work, which I know a lot about because I have my new podcast, Dirty Change, with Tommy Pistol, which is a sex education podcast. And the next episode that's coming out, I talk to an escort and sex worker. But before that, I did know quite a bit about it. So what's your take on it? This is kind of like a controversial subject. Maybe a lot of people don't think about it. They're like, sex work, who cares? But it's important.
It is, you know, the cliche is that it's the world's oldest job.
Oldest profession. Right. It's in the Bible.
So to me, I understand the stigma because America was founded by religious fanatics.
We're a Puritan country.
Right. We're still very Puritan, which thankfully is changing, but change is slow. So I think about, it's no different to me than legalizing marijuana. You know, like the fact that we're here.
Have we done an episode on legalization of marijuana?
I think we did illegal drugs, but not pot specifically.
That's right. We did talk about the drug epidemic.
Right. And so for me, I don't see it as any different than that. Like, it's just something that we should regulate and keep everyone safe that's involved because sex workers are very prone to being attacked or having different things happen to them. And so to me, I kind of want it to be regulated so we can protect sex workers.
I think it's very important. You know, I think there was an issue that happened. I believe it was Brazil where it's legal.
Yes.
And there was some debacle with a sex worker and she just went to the cops and the guy didn't realize like, oh, they have protections here.
Right. Yeah. Which I think is good, right? Like we need more of that.
What about people that say, BJ, if sex work is legal, then you're just promoting prostitution and the degradation of our society.
Promoting prostitution is amazing. It's awesome. Let's promote more. I mean, think about it from my perspective, right? So for me to date someone is virtually impossible because I live in just outside of New York by an hour in order to date someone in New York.
You're a bridge troll.
Yeah. I totally am. And so like New York City girls won't go out with you because, you know, it's like a hike. It's an hour and a half to get to my dumb ass. So, so I really haven't dated that much. So for not that I've partaken just yet. But it often comes up of, oh, okay, well, I could just see somebody and pay them money. Why is there something more to this other than it's a transaction?
Okay, I feel like you're making a really bad argument for sex work.
Okay.
I'm going to give my point of view because I feel like it's a little bit better woman.
Yeah, let me get out of this hole.
So one of the reasons I am promoting sex work, other than BJ getting laid, is that actually... It's the same reason that I wanted to promote illicit drugs becoming legalized. And that's because these are women. A lot of these women have no alternative. And because of the illegal nature of sex work, they have no legal protections.
That's right.
And this creates an atmosphere where sex trafficking and trafficking of women and young girls actually is promoted.
That's right.
And so as a feminist and as someone who believes in women's rights and believes in women's protections, I believe that legalization of prostitution allows prostitutes and women to become entrepreneurs and business owners and have their own business and also be protected. First of all, in the sex industry, when a woman is caught for prostitution, she's punished, vilified, scarlet letter, shame, 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 the Johns, nothing, slap on a wrist.
Right.
So that's my perspective on it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said all that. I agree about everything.
I was like, BJ, I feel like you're making a bad point by just being like, I need to get laid.
So, yes, right? That's 100% accurate. But also,
I love you, but yes.
Yeah, but it's 100% accurate. But also, I believe all those things as well. But if I had said it, I felt it would have been sounding like mansplaining.
Okay. I don't think it would have been sound like mansplaining, but all right. That's your excuse for not having a good yes, reason.
No, I know. I mean, to me, like, because I in my head.
You're like, I thought that in my head. I just didn't verbalize it. Right.
Like, in my head, all those things go without saying or should go without saying. And I don't often stop and think, no, those are things that should be said.
Those are things that should be said. And the average person doesn't really understand. Like, when exactly. I talk about the legalization of drugs, the assumption, the go-to thought process is, well, we don't want to promote drug addicts.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people go to. And so, and they're not looking at the statistics. They're not looking at, you know, if a prostitute is assaulted or attacked or an escort is attacked, she has very little recourse to protect herself.
Right.
Right now.
And I'm curious as to when it became illegal, because in the Old West, I mean that, well, the mythology.
The saloons.
Right. Like in the mythology of the Old West, thank you, Buffalo Bill. We had the perception of saloons and prostitution. And like even places like Nevada, it's legal except in Las Vegas proper. So it's part of the fabric of our country. And I never understood where we suddenly turned around from that and said, okay, no prostitution. And I just hit the table and Andrew's going to get crazy. I apologize, Andrew, for hitting the table. I was very excited about that. But my point is that at some point, you know, in our history, we turned around and said this should be illegal.
And not just that, but like the pornography industry is very regulated,
right?
Because it is legalized, and so performers have to get tested for STDs. They have certain legal requirements for their safety, and these women are working in a very dangerous
yes
field, putting their physical bodies at health,
men and women, but men and more women. So women.
Yep. Yes, and so they need those legal protections. You know. To know that a woman that you're going to have, maybe you're saying a transactional relationship with, that is clean and safe, that's probably really important to you,
right?
As a exactly. man and a yeah. customer,
right? Well, it should be it should be important to both people involved in the transaction. You know, like it should be. That's why I'm saying like I have trouble conceptualizing why this is illegal in the first place, right? Like, because to me, if it is this sort of transaction, you're right. Like, wouldn't you want everyone to be safe? And
when you go to a restaurant, I don't know if they have this in New York. In Los Angeles, they have ratings on the
yes, yeah, that was
health and safety ratings.
Yeah, that started in New York under Bloomberg. I hate to give him credit for things, but that was a Bloomberg thing.
So if you're living in a city or state that doesn't have it, there are these health code grades, and you get an A if you have a really clean restaurant and you meet certain health standards. You know, a B if maybe you're missing a couple things. A C if you're not really there. A D, I don't think these exist. You're shut down.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want to know that the woman that you're having this transaction with is an A-rated
right.
woman? Well,
so
healthy and clean.
I'm just
or male.
Taking this to its logical extreme. What happens if you're a male and you have an F? Like, do we spay you?
You're fixed.
Is that exactly we automatically fix you? Or, you know, like, I wonder if there would be Yelp reviews for individuals. Like, you know, like you're rated an A, but I'm giving you like one star. Kind of thing. Like, I'm curious, like, it sounds ridiculous, but I am curious as to what that looks like. Let's say it is completely legalized. Everything's reviewed now. So,
bad Yelp reviews.
Right. So what
happens? Blowjob D-.
Right, exactly. And then, like, taking that to an extreme, like, what do you do if, let's say you have an A rating and then someone's giving you one-star reviews for bad blowjobs? Like, how do you, like, I'm just, like.
How do you improve it?
Right. Like. Sorry, I'm a marketing person. So like I immediately in my head, I go, oh no, there's a brand issue that needs to be solved. You got an F- for blowjobs.
I also have a suggestion, you know, since we're talking hypotheticals here, it's not legal in the United States, except for in Nevada, correct? But I do have a hypothetical that I think, you know, is very controversial and people might be pissed off and turn off this podcast. But the one thing I detest in this world more than anything is people that abuse animals and children.
Yes, same.
Because I feel that they're helpless. And also with children, most of the problems I've incurred in meeting adults that are completely messed up is trauma from childhood. And so one of the things that makes me so sick is pedophiles and people who rape and hurt children. Well, what if there were some type of, not with people, but some type of sex doll brothel where these perverts could get their urges out, I guess?
It exists. Those exist.
Not in the United States.
Not in the United States.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could get it out. And then, because from the research I've looked at, there's a very low rate of rehabilitation. So a lot of pedophiles, unfortunately, were molested as children themselves. And whatever happens to your brain when it's a little sponge and you're sucking in, you know, trauma or whatever, they then become pedophiles as well. And it's very hard, even if they go to rehab and other therapy, to stop. They're usually repeat offenders.
Right.
So now with these very, very lifelike sex dolls that exist, I don't know if you know about the sex brothel that's legal in Portugal.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So I feel like that would be, you know, not to help them or, you know, have them live out their fantasies or whatever, but in a way, it's not to encourage them, but it's to have them, hey, take it out on the sex doll instead of an actual person where you can jack up their mental state.
Right, like, or a robot, right?
Or
like,
a robot, just take it out on the robot. If you're a pervert, go have sex with this childlike sex robot and, like, leave the real kids alone.
Right. Yeah, no, I think I'm all for that. Because, as you said, like, if the rate of rehabilitation is so low and we see it all the time, then there needs to be some kind of alternative. And I know some people might get grossed out by that, but, you know, that's your own hang up if you're grossed out by that. This is solving a problem and keeping real children safe.
I feel like there's a lot of, and this is why I started my podcast, Dirty Change with Tommy Pistol, not to super promote it. But that's why I started, because I feel like people don't talk about sex a lot.
Right.
It's so taboo. It's crazy. We're in the 21st century and so many people, you know, a lot of people even, they watch pornography and they think it's real and they're not realizing it's a fantasy. A lot of kids, teens, and they're learning from that. And so I think that's why sex work hasn't been legalized, because we're so Puritan still. Even we're not even talking about these things. And it's as human as drinking water or going, you know, potty in the bathroom.
Right. And it's funny when it is talked about, it's always like, oh, we're going to get naughty today. You know, there's always some journalist who's presenting it in that context. So let's go down the red light district and talk about the off the beat, non-mainstream stuff. And yeah, it's very frustrating. And I'm optimistic it will be fixed, right? Like, we were talking before we went on the air of New York State, specifically New York City, but it would affect the entire state, legalizing sex work, which I think is fantastic. Like, I fully support it. But there's that debate from, you know, the religious conservative. I hate to pigeonhole, like, upstate New York, because I've lived all over the state, and there are very nice people all over New York. But it's really red. I think people don't realize, like, how red it actually is between Buffalo and New York City.
Well, here's something that I don't understand. So typically, conservatism and not talking about sex and abstinence education and things like that are associated with religious groups and religion.
Yes.
So this may surprise some of the listeners. I am a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I go to church. I find no issue with this whatsoever. As long as you are not raping and abusing women, and you're a good person, I don't understand why it's wrong. I really don't. I really do not understand. And I don't think that God or Jesus really would care.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. So,
sorry, maybe I'm, you know, misinterpreting the Bible, but I don't think that God cares. I mean, unless you're like raping people.
Right, exactly.
I feel like God would be like, cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, if we want to, like, from a historical perspective, I think everything in the Bible probably happened in one way, shape, or form. So just from historically speaking, like, Jesus of Nazareth grew up and lived in a time where prostitution was legal. He probably didn't even think twice about it.
I really don't think the listeners were expecting Jesus in the sex work podcast.
Right, yeah. But there's no way. There's also no way around it, because, like, even, you know, when I mention people in upstate New York, I don't mean all people.
First of all, I don't feel attacked that you're saying they're religious, right? I'm saying, why are they like that?
Right.
I'm saying, as a spiritual and religious person, I try to be a good person. I don't understand why you would care. First of all, why would you care what someone else is doing?
Right. Exactly.
I think just something that really bothers me about the religious community. It's a stereotype, and unfortunately, it's partially true. Where there's a lot of judgment on others.
Yeah, and it's used. So here's the thing.
It's weaponized.
Yeah, it's used as a recruitment tool. Oh, things are changing. Let this particular parishioner, this particular church, we're going to take a strong stand against LGBTQIA. I didn't hit the table. And we're going to take a strong stance against prostitution.
But priests molesting kids, just sweep that under the rug.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. If you're wearing a robe, you can do whatever you want. If it's something else, we're going to use that as, oh, culture is changing and you need to join. So I think it's a recruitment tool, especially in upstate New York. Like, there's a lot of parishioners that I've met. I've gone to churches. upside that think like you do and think like I do. But the person who runs the church and the organization behind that person are still really behind.
I think that is just in general, you know, to me, I believe that God judges you when you die. And so someone, maybe a prostitute their entire lives, maybe they inspire other people, maybe they help people. Like, you don't know what their path is, that's not your decision. And so it clearly says that in multiple religious books that God judges you, not you. That it doesn't say John Smith judges Judy.
Right, exactly.
So when I see all this religious fanaticism and people saying, well, you're not supposed to do that. Well, you're not God. You're just some jackass.
Right, exactly. It's something that drives me up a wall, especially in the States. I found in the rest of the world, that's still there, but to a lesser extent, right? Like the thing that you hear about in Europe is, what do we do with all these empty churches? Mm-hmm. And in the United States, you've got like the opposite problem where you've got religious fundamentalism. I'm just thinking like from all three of the major religions, right? Where they seem to be entrenching themselves.
It's really, really sad and it's really scary. And I think that religion was definitely not meant to be weaponized into an extremist, right. You know, basically, feel like all religions are just like, hey, don't be a dick.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the golden rule of the Bible.
The golden rule is like, don't be a dick. And I really, truly does not. So one of the things that I find absolutely horrendous, and this has to do with sex work, is that part of the taboo associated with sex work goes back to the Puritan idea and the religious idea that sex workers are dirty because a woman should save herself for marriage and should save her virginity. And what I have found is that this is being used to control women.
Yes, it's anti-women.
And it's used to control their sexuality. Because I'm going to be real here, BJ, and I'm sure as a man you'll agree with me, and most men would agree with me, is that there's a misstereotype that men are the more powerful sex. But come on, we've all seen a 55-year-old guy that risked everything and lost everything for some 19-year-old poonanny.
Yes. That's, yeah. No, I think I've said it before in the podcast. I think that men are dumb. Women are smarter. I do think that women are the better sex.
But I think it's used to weaponize and control women, because that's what a lot of women have, is we have our sexuality.
Yes.
And so when a woman is young and naive, and you tell her, well, if she goes and spreads her legs, she's a whore and she's a horrible person and she's going to go to hell, that is a way to control her. And then when she's older, and it's like, it's to me, I've seen it as a way to control women.
Yes, no, it is. I'm convinced, and I know it sounds reductive, but if you're anti-sex worker, you're anti-women. Like, I do put those two things together. And that's not, again, you know, there are male sex workers, obviously, and they need the rights and protection that the women do. But when we talk about American Western society, it's very anti-woman. And this is just another way to kind of attack and keep the gender down.
Yeah, I think that, and a lot of women are tricked also into agreeing with that point of view because they're not understanding how they're being weaponized against each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really sad. I also do want to talk about other types of sex work other than prostitution, and some of them are becoming legal, which I think is really, really cool. Have you heard about the snuggling and cuddling and hugging therapy?
Yes, I want to be a professional hugger.
I think that is so awesome. So for those of you who don't know, they have one in LA. I haven't tried it, but my friend actually went to a hugger therapy in Seattle, I believe, and it helped him with some trauma that he was dealing with. And so that is where you pay a worker. It's not sex work, but it's sex related, but it doesn't have to be. And you cuddle and hug and do cuddle therapy.
Yeah, I think it's great. I honestly think I wish more people would do it.
More people need to do it.
Right, because I think that
a lot of people need a hug.
Well, especially like in the way our society works, particularly in the States, is that distance is valued, you know, like
because of the individualism,
right? And I think that's the opposite of what we actually are as people.
We're tribal people. We're supposed to be in groups. We're social.
So for me, when I read about that, I was like, oh, this is awesome. We're starting slowly to get back to where we should be, as opposed to everyone's my enemy and I'm only looking out for number one.
He actually told me that it was a lot that the hugger that he went to, that she said that it was a lot of work. It was emotionally draining for her because she put a lot into it. Like, it was a lot of work.
So it's easy to dismiss it, right? And be like, oh, you're just hugging people. But it's like, no, you have to be present with that person. I think that's probably more important than the hug itself, because we are able to detect if you're not present with someone. So to be
if they're like spaced out, thinking about their phone, thinking about, exactly. I mean, we've all even been with a partner who's like that, who's like spaced out, and you're like, okay, this is not, they're not with me. They're right here.
And I think that is probably the key to the hugging and the cuddling, and just, and that is very draining to be present with somebody. So I completely understand that.
Have you visited a hugger?
Not yet.
Do you want me to send you? There's a hugger in LA. I think a hugging, I'll have to look up cuddling.
I'll add it to the list right after your edibles.
Edibles. You still haven't found any edibles.
The two, I do. I want to pet everyone's animal if I can. And that sounded completely like, if you were to take that out of context, it's hilarious. But I do really want people to try this at home. That to me is a thing that is going to be more and more valuable as time goes on. I had another point that just completely left me.
I was thinking about cuddling and then I forgot.
I'm curious as to what the process is to become a professional hugger. I would like to become a professional hugger.
I actually was looking up the process too, because I wanted to do it. I believe the pay is very lucrative. It's like $60 an hour, I think. My husband did not want me to do it because he is concerned that I'm too cute and that creepy guys will try something on me. However, when I went on the hugging website, you know, they are very clear about their rules. It's just like when you go to a strip club, if you're not allowed to touch the strippers. They touch you and they're allowed to tell you what areas that you're allowed to hug and spoon. And if you violate that individual hugger's or cuddler's, I guess, limits, then you're asked to leave. Yes. So there, because it's not prostitution, there's rules and safety.
Right. Go figure that hugging has all these rules and regulations, but in prostitution, nothing. Like, it's one of the things, just to go back to the prostitution for a second, you sometimes will hear the argument of, I don't want my kid to grow up and want to be a sex worker. And that's their argument for voting against it. And that's like their argument for making it as scandalized as it is. And it drives me a little crazy, because it's like, if your kid wants to grow up to be a sex worker, I think that's awesome. Like, if that's something that makes them truly happy, why is it any of your business? Like, why is this a thing? And why are you judging other people's kids? Like, it's not your place to tell other people's kids if they don't want to grow up and do this.
Well, because those people should not be parents. And it sounds horrible to say, well, why would someone who doesn't want that for their kid, why are they a bad parent? Because a lot of parents, I'm going to get a lot of issues here. A lot of parents, they have children because they want their kids to be mini-me.
Right.
I'm a doctor, you have to be a doctor.
Yep.
I'm a lawyer, I want you to be a lawyer. I'm a Mets fan, you have to be a Mets fan.
Hey now. You have to, if I have kids, you must be a Mets fan.
And that's not allowing the child to grow into the individual and unique person that they are.
Right.
And this is what happens when people come out of the closet and their parents are like, I disown you because you're not what I want. Well, that's not really loving your kid, is it?
That's
loving
right.
your kid is, hey, if your kid wants to have a mohawk and do butt porn, you support them and say, hey, my kid is the best butt porn mohawk person out there.
You know what would be funny is, like, if they came on set with signs like saying, my kid is number one. Like, as they're doing.
And so,
can we ask Tommy about that? Has Tommy's parents been on set yet?
Loving a child unconditionally is loving them for all of their decisions. And if they decide to, you know, do sex work, then that's fine. But I don't think that that's a very good argument, because
right, I agree.
But some people choose to do sex work for different reasons.
That's right. Yeah, I mean,
there's so many different reasons, and it's crazy. You know, I did talk about a lot of women doing it out of desperation, but that's a stereotype too. You know, I know, just doing Dirty Change, there's a lot of porn stars I've met who have done it for different reasons. You know, the stereotype is, oh, they've all been molested. Well, that's not necessarily true.
That's right. And I think that's the thing, we assume too much. Right. It could just be that the money's great. I mean, look at the way our economy works. If you are a creative of any kind, you might be living with your parents or three or four roommates and barely making ends meet. So if you found a job that pays you like $200,000 a year and you don't hate it, why would you say no?
Well, Tara Patrick, who was a porn star like 10 years ago, who I used to be a big fan of, I think she's retired. She was a nurse.
That's right.
And she just wanted to do sex work. She had a passion for pornography and wanted to be a pornographer. So I think she actually is also a member of Mensa. So she's a very intelligent, beautiful, and smart woman who obviously had enough education to become a nurse, but that was just her passion. Right. So I think that's important to show that there's a variety of people. It's not just desperate women. I apologize for reiterating that stereotype. And then I also wanted to talk about my own experience in sex work, BJ, as a girlfriend for hire.
Yes, that's right. Yes. I heard a little bit about this on the other podcast, but let's get into it.
I don't think I talked to you on another podcast. I think I just texted you about it.
Oh, maybe. You know you're in the podcasting life when you assume that everything's been said on the podcast, right? Let's go.
So I talked about doing dominatrix work on the podcast, but yes. I texted you personally about doing girlfriend for hire. So in LA, they have something in Los Angeles, they have girlfriend for hire, and they have these clubs in downtown Los Angeles where you can go and pay a girl to spend an hour with her. And unfortunately, a lot of the girls in the club that I worked at, I only worked for 2 weeks. I was literally just desperate for money. And I saw an ad for it and I was like, what is this? This was in my early 20s. And a lot of the girls, unfortunately, were prostitutes. And it was kind of like their place to look for warm leads. Right.
Their lead generation tool, as one might say.
And so they would give out their cards and then meet the Johns afterwards in other locations. But I just did it as a girlfriend for hire. And so I would provide companionship to guys and we would sit and talk. And part of it was kind of like a strip club in that the game was to try to get guys to buy extremely overpriced drinks.
Right.
It's like, hey, do you want a Coke? It's $20.
How about this water? This free tap water is good for yours. It's not free.
I don't think they had free. I think you had to buy a bottle of water. Really? It was like $5.
The water is free, but the cup is going to cost you like $10.
So that was really interesting for me.
So walk me through what this looks like.
Okay. So there was three things that you could do. I think there was three areas. So you would walk into the club. It was called a hostess club or girlfriend for hire club. And you would go in and there's a row, like a church bench pew with like 20 girls.
Okay.
And a lot of guys, sorry, BJ, not because you're creepy, but because you're a guy. And then a bunch of creepy looking guys, just because they were like staring.
Right.
Staring at all the girls.
Well, it's gross, right? Like it's like putting you on display, which is kind of, it's like going to like the deli section in the supermarket, which is, it's gross.
So then they would go and tell the front hostess who they wanted and you would have a number or something. You would go with the guy and you would get, I believe it was 15 minute increments. And so you could do three things. You could sit in the back area and watch TV and chat.
Okay.
You could sit at the bar and chat, or you could, there was a dance floor and you could dance and that was it. And then when you were done, you would return your girlfriend for hire back to the front,
put her back in the meat rack,
and you could tip. And I did that for 2 weeks. It was very interesting.
Why? So why 2 weeks? Like, were you just like, I had enough of this or?
So I did have enough of it. So most of my clients were really, really sweet guys that were just kind of lonely and they just wanted someone to talk to. A lot of them were in loveless marriages and they just wanted female companionship. And I was okay with that. But I did have several creepy guys that were trying to be creepy.
Got it.
And so I didn't like that. And I had a client who was like a regular, even after 2 weeks, he like loved me. And he was an accountant and he told me to quit. He said, you're a very sweet girl. And if you keep working here, you're probably going to hate men. And I don't know if that was true or not, but there were enough creepy clients for me. Like, so I'll give you an example of creepy. So I told you the three things you could do. One of the things you could do was sit and chat. The other thing you could do was like watch TV or something and sit at the bar. The other thing you could do was dance. So any guy that wanted to dance was usually creepy. And usually it was like some guy that like had a boner and was trying to like rub his boner on your leg while you were dancing.
Gross. Yeah, very gross.
So, I mean, at any time you could say, hey, this is not cool and leave.
Yeah. But still, like it's still a gross. Yeah.
So, and they had bodyguards and things like that. And you could But it was just, it was, I didn't get that many of those, but I did get a couple, and it did make you feel really dirty, because not because they were doing it, but because there was no consent.
Right.
And I think that's why it's important to protect sex work, because consent is so important.
That's right. I think that's the entire thing, right? Like, you're in a transactional relationship that both people have agreed on, whereas with you and girlfriend for hire...
with a creepy guy rubbing his boner on my leg.
You have not consented. I also think it's a good teaching tool. I really do think that sex work is a good... Like, I hate the fact that health classes are taught by, like, gym coaches who... And I hate to stereotype gym coaches because my aunt and uncle were both gym coaches, but they're not sometimes...
Did you have sex ed? So they don't have sex ed anymore in a lot of schools.
They've gotten rid of sex ed, which is also a crime. But I think that sex ed should be taught by sex workers.
They're teaching... abstinence now, right?
Yeah.
In some schools.
Yeah. In a lot of schools, it's abstinence or it's make good choices, but they don't get into any specifics beyond this is the biological aspects of a guy, this is the biological aspects of a girl. Go have fun.
What did you learn in sex ed? I felt like sex ed for me was my poor gym coach just showing us STD-covered genitals, mm-hmm. and that was just disgusting. That was mine too. Yeah. It was like gross.
The subtext was don't fuck. Right? Like that was the entire sex ed class.
Did they show you graphic herpes covered dicks and stuff?
This is herpes. This is all this other shit that you can get. In case you forgot kindergarten, this is a penis. This is a vagina. Because when you're a senior in high school, you need that reminder, I guess, as to what's what. So yeah, I mean, I would love to have sex workers actually take part in teaching sex. In school. In fact, you know, there's Stephen King makes this point in his book on writing where he says that, you know, if you're a writer, it's hard to make ends meet. One of the things you can do is teach. And that's one of the ways that you can get money coming in and build up legitimacy within the larger swath of society. And so I kind of look at that the same thing with sex workers. Like, why don't we have sex workers teaching in high school? Like,
because they're perverts and they're going to corrupt our children.
Yeah. It's, that, see, it just. It bugs.
You asked me, and I'm telling you what the answer probably is from someone who probably would be against it.
Yeah, it's like some stereotypical like high school.
The trans bathroom things. Well, why can't we have trans? Because they're going to come in and rape women in the bathroom. They're trans. They're not.
Right. Well, why don't we?
I'm just giving you the arguments that are out there.
It just makes me crazy. Like, especially the trans bathroom thing is, why don't we just have bathrooms for everybody?
Yes.
Like. Why
there's a way to do gender neutral or gender all bathrooms that are not dangerous.
Like most normal people know not to rape each other, right? Like, you know, who's going, I mean, oh yeah.
Or if you're concerned, so a way to have it is to have a sink area that's, you know, all gender.
Right.
Stalls that go all the way up and down. And then if you're very concerned about it, then a bathroom attendant.
There's a place in Arizona that I went to see the Super Bowl, and they have exactly that. Like, when you go in, the sink area is face-to-face, men on one side, women on the other side, and then the stalls are separate. But it's one big bathroom.
Yeah. And then, like I said, if you're really concerned, bathroom attendant, done, easy.
Exactly.
That's it.
Right. And then, hey, you know what? You're giving someone work. Which I think is great. So
I personally don't understand why the stalls have, I think the stall should go all the way up and down anyway.
Yes. It's so dumb. Like, it's just, so I was mentioning one of my high school principals was a former priest or a deacon. And even though it was a public school, you know, like he ran it as if you were going to a religious school. And there's a lot of people like that, which just kills me. So like when you were saying, well, why don't we have sex workers teaching sex ed? I immediately thought of that guy. Because that guy more often than not is running a school, and it just makes me so mad.
Also, I mean, we could go into a whole thing about education. I could go off on a tangent about how most of the subjects they teach in school are not helpful to everyday living.
Right.
And that, you know, schools are underfunded and there's all sorts of issues with the public school system, unfortunately. But I just think that a lot of people are, I think that one of the core issues of what we're talking about is still the taboo.
That's right.
The taboo, the stigma, the uncomfortability. And one of the things that is going to solve that is talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to talk about their personal lives and share so that other people can know, hey, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing is completely normal. Sex is normal. Not having sex is normal. Having weird fantasies, maybe not as weird as you think they are. Hey, I'm just kidding.
I'm always. People say weird fantasies, and my guard immediately like it just goes off.
What did I just say? I said not. They may not be as weird as you think they are because
that's true.
Because
that's
people are true. So closeted about their preferences and their kink. I'm promoting right. it. Yes. Why did you snap yes. at me?
It's just like you know what it is. It's like it's sort of like when I go and use the shower. And I'm touching the table. When I go and use the shower at other people's places, like the fan is always on in my bathroom.
Okay.
And I always forget to turn the fan on. And so it's an automatic thought of the fan is on, even though you know you got to stop and do it. And so it's sort of the same way. Like it's an automatic thought of you hear weird fantasy and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, it's not.
No, what I'm saying is that so my experience with that is that I grew up in a very sexually conservative household. I was told by my father that I was not to date, look, or talk to boys unless I was going to marry them. And because of that repressed situation, a lot of negative things happened. One, I was completely boy crazy growing up because I felt like it was something that I wasn't allowed to have. And that boy craziness put me in bad situations. You know, I was with a very mentally unstable gentleman for many years. And because I just wanted male attention, because I wasn't the more that you have experience with something. So I personally think that every young man and woman before they get married should have sex with prostitutes, should have sex with as many people as they can. Because what happens if you get married for life, which I believe in marriage for life, and your partner is not sexually compatible with
you? That was me.
That's a big deal.
That was me. I love my ex-wife. I have nothing bad to say about her. We were not sexually compatible, like at all. And that's why I completely agree. I think there should be some kind of
this whole save yourself for your marriage being a virgin is bad idea.
It
bad
is idea. Right, right. It's just going to lead to bad sex, which is the core of any marriage. Like if you have bad sex in a marriage, then you don't have a marriage.
You're going to be with this one person. You know, again, this is my belief about marriage. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. But you're going to be with this one person allegedly for the rest of your life and you don't even know how they like to have sex.
Right.
Maybe your husband is really into blowjobs and you hate blowjobs. Maybe your husband is really into anal. You hate anal. Maybe your wife is really into role playing and you hate role playing.
Exactly.
These things are important.
Right. No, it's true. I can count. So I was with my ex-wife for about 6 years. We dated for 2 years. We were married for four. I can count on one hand, the number of times I talked her into wearing a Wonder Woman costume.
And you're really into Wonder Woman costumes.
And I'm really, really into the superhero and apparel thing. So for like that 6 years, one hand, I mean, that's sort of that instance. And that's very common. So I completely agree.
So I think that people need to, it's just like, you know, driving a car. How are you going to know what kind of car you like if you've never driven a stick shift or right. a Prius or whatever, right? And so I just think it's very, very important that people explore themselves, thank God I didn't marry several of the men I thought I was going to marry. And then there was just an extreme amount of shame, you know, after me and my high school boyfriend broke up because I felt like I was damaged because I had lost my virginity. And so I really encourage people, young people, to have as much sex as they possibly can before they get married.
I mean, what?
Sell your wild oats, people!
Right, like, so it's one of those things, right, where it is the core human experience is we sleep, we eat, and we fuck, right? Like, those are the three things that we are built to do, and every time that we get away from that, it's just, I think it's a bad luck. So I am all for people actually just embracing that and having as much sex as they possibly can get.
So I think, you know, you talked about sex workers being teachers. I'm saying teachers also sexually, not just teaching sex
right.
ed.
Yeah. No, I think that...
Guys, if you're inexperienced, go get laid and teach. Learn how to please a woman.
Right. Like, so the way I would envision it is because I know we talk about porn stars that want to get out. Well, then one of the things that they can do is become like a sex coach. That's a good line of work, especially who would know better. The exactly. porn star, right? Like it's all about the 10,000 hour rule. The porn stars, you don't actually need the 10,000 hours, but the porn stars would come to that requirement.
And I want to encourage nice guys, good boys, good straight, not straight as in sexually straight, sexual orientation. I'm saying good straight laced boys, go out and have sex with prostitutes. Okay. I'm telling you this as a woman. Okay. Please. Here's why. All of the assholes that I dated, BJ, were great in bed. Why? Because they had multiple partners. A lot of the nice guys that I dated who were so nice and wonderful, wonderful guys, were horrible in bed. They were horrible in bed because they had no experience. So, nice guys, please. I spent 2 years training my sweet husband. He shouldn't have needed 2 years of training. And this is not an embarrassment. He will listen to this podcast and probably laugh. I talk about it all the time. Now he's great in bed, but I had to train him.
Right.
I don't want to have to train someone. Guys, nice guys, go have sex with prostitutes.
Exactly, right? Like this, there's
please.
No, what is the bad outcome here? Like if it's regulated, then you know everyone's fine. You're not going to get sick, which is, you know, always in the back of people's minds because we're all germaphobes to some extent. Which is one of the reasons why you should be for regulating sex work and promoting it and making it legal so that everyone can have fun and not have the negative stigmas in their head.
And I have heard that I'm not saying anything that's awful. I've heard so many women say, well, this guy is such a nice guy, but he's not good in bed.
Yeah.
I have heard that from so many women. Or why do you stay with this asshole? Oh, well, the sex is amazing.
Yep.
So that's not good.
No, it's not. It's really... It might be good short term, but not over the long haul. And your mental health is more valuable than that.
Correct. So I would encourage all men who are not players to go hire prostitutes. Please.
Which is most of us, right? Which is like 99.9% of all men. Women as well, right? Like, there's just a lot to be said. I'm trying not to throw anyone under the bus. But there are some people who, just for one reason or another, and completely legitimate reasons, didn't have sex until marriage and didn't know what they like and what they don't like. So, I mean, it's men especially, but I think women as well.
No, I would encourage women too. I said young men and young women in the beginning, but, you know, explore what you like. Learn about what you like. There's, there are women I know and women I've talked to, I think they're lying, but who have told me that they've never had an orgasm. You should learn how to do that.
Exactly. Right. Like, you know what the problem is that there's no operator's manual for people. And there really should be. And that's one of the things that should be right up front.
Well, a lot of the women that I've talked to that haven't had an orgasm, their issue is comfortability. And so what I'm thinking when I hear that is that they don't have enough experience.
Yep.
They're not able to be relaxed in their own body. They're not able to be comfortable having intercourse.
Right. Which is so important because... For, I mean, all the studies I've read, sounds lame, but...
That sounded very nerdy.
Yeah, it really did. All the studies I've read about the female orgasm is that women require time to warm up as opposed to us guys.
You guys are like, done.
Yeah, like there's...
Wonder Woman costume, done.
Done. But women do need, at least from what I've read, like time to warm up. And so, and that goes into being comfortable and being feeling like you know how everything works within your body and knowing what you like and what you don't like.
I have a girlfriend in her 40s and she's still uncomfortable. She said she's uncomfortable because she doesn't want to make men wait because she takes longer. And I'm like, girl, you need to get over that.
Yeah, no, do your thing, right? Do your thing.
You're dating the wrong guy.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to dig myself into a hole. I keep count. Of the number of times that I can get the person I'm with to orgasm because I want to make sure that they have a good time.
What does that mean, keep count?
Like, I'll count in the back of my head, all right, so she came, like, I came once, she came five times, it was a good night. Like, she's, so I keep score, which is a whole
ladies,
other.
Ladies, BJ is single.
Yes, I am single.
But he did just say five times.
I did five. The record right now stands at 15 to 1. I was the one, not the 15. Let's just, let's clarify. But no, that's true. Like, that's, again, this all goes back into sex education and why. Here's the thing that frustrates me. When you look at what New York is doing.
So what's going on in New York? Tell me. I'm ignorant.
New York wants to legalize sex work. Where the argument is how and where to do it. Because you got a lot of not in my backyards. It's sort of like the marijuana thing where we should have legalized marijuana, but people found a way to kill it with these stupid pedantic arguments of, oh yeah, we're all for legalization, but maybe it should be county to county, and then they kill it. And that's what's happening right now with sex work, where it's like, oh yeah, we're all for legalizing sex work, but do we use the Danish model, or do we use like everyone can just fuck as long as they're licensed and that's how we do it? I think it's called the Danish model. Do you know what the Denmark model? But how that works is that there's one specific district
where the red light district, yeah, or whatever.
One, yeah, specific. This is where the sex workers are. The police are there to protect them and to protect you from scams.
Or that's smart.
Yeah. So, but what happens is that the people that are for the Dutch model, let's say, versus just regulating everywhere, fight with each other, and that keeps them from getting legalized.
It's like UBI in the 70s.
Exactly. It's not. It doesn't go far enough, right?
Like, that was, God damn it, people! Right. Shut up and get it through.
Yeah, that was the Democrats. It doesn't go. We want it, but it doesn't go far enough. And that's sort of what's going on.
Don't they know that things happen step by step?
I had that teacher at Potsdam. She always said history is written in the margins. She's right. Like, everything is incremental. As much as we don't want it to be,
we want massive change right away, and that's not going to happen because there's people who are against it. So you got to slow. It's like the legalization of gay marriage.
Right.
10 years ago, even Obama was against legalization. Right. But slowly, attitudes change. Slowly, 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 until boom, it's legal and no one cares. And the people that do care are really dumb.
Or dead. Or dead, right? Like, that's the thing, right? I'm convinced that we got to legalization of gay marriage because a lot of the silent generation is dead.
They're silent and dead.
Yeah. So, and I'm convinced that we'll get there. That's why I'm optimistic about the planet, because I think that the idiots that are ruining it will be dead soon. Which obviously it's not fast enough. We need this to happen much faster. But the people that are against climate, against fixing the climate, are old and they're going to die. So as morbid as that sounds.
And millennials and after are very pro-environment. Right,
we're pro-environment. We're pro-sex work. We're pro-legalization of drugs. So I'm optimistic that these things will get done. And so
we just need old people to die.
Yes.
And their ideas.
So
to die with
them. I encourage everyone to go on a killing spree. If there's a nursing
home. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This is not legal advice of any way, shape, or form. Right.
find the nearest nursing home and poison the water. No, I'm kidding. Let's leave the old people alone because they will die naturally. We hope. I know there's always that fear in the back of my mind that the baby boomers are going to become cyborgs. And they're just not going to leave.
We found the cure for death. Oh, God damn it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And we're getting close, right? Because we can now grow organs. And there's a whole genomics field in China where they're just leading the world and being able to create and manufacture organs.
I think they're just harvesting organs and telling you that they're growing them.
Well, yeah. There's always that too, right? Like, oh yeah, we've got an unlimited supply. It's fine. It's gonna, back up the truck and don't let them see, right? But my point is that in New York, you know, these things will happen. You know, it's just a matter of when.
It's just a matter of getting the infighting to die now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, we see that with pot in New York. The reason why pot is held up is because of like five quote unquote Democrats, they're not, from Long Island, that are old and conservative and they're just holding up and not letting it happen.
Let me think if I missed any points about the legalization. Mainly, I just want it to be legalized so it can be safer.
Yes.
I want sex workers to get tested. I want them to have legal protections against rapists and psycho people and have some type of recourse, because mostly they are women. And I would like the taboo to be taken away, because I think that, first of all, if there was no need for them, it wouldn't exist. But there's a need.
Yes.
There's a need, and right now it's being run by illegal child traffickers and sex traffickers, and the women are being abused.
Yeah.
Or can't have a high likelihood of being abused. So I really think that it's happening anyway. Why not legalize it, get some tax money from it, and protect the women?
Exactly. I think that's beautifully said. I was just going to add, people should fuck more. So I'm glad that you put a bow on it, and it was so elegant, and I'm just sitting here like going, more sex.
All right. You're done. You're fired.
Yeah.
This podcast is just me talking to myself in the future.
So I hope you enjoy the last two episodes. We're going to talk about open borders. And what was the other one?
Open borders and end of life euthanasia, right, which is a very important topic to me because I believe people should die with dignity.
Yes, I do as well. So Rosie will be talking about that by herself for the next two episodes.
Do you have any other points to make?
No, I think you put it beautifully. I really do. So It's sort of the same thing I want to say at the end of every episode is that if you give a shit, you should say something. And like, if you live in New York right now, you should be hounding your state legislature to make this happen, because they're having that conversation right now. And it's not just New York. There is a movement across the country of legalizing sex work. So the federal government is broken, and I'm convinced that not a lot will ever get done. But on the state level, you can certainly get things done. And if you want to legalize sex work, you should absolutely find out who your state senator is and call him.
I also wanted to make, we have like 5 minutes left.
Okay,
No. I just wanted to make one more point, because we are talking about the United States quite a bit, because that's where we're located. But I wanted to also make a case, because I've just seen a couple documentaries on this. I think it should be legalized internationally.
Yeah.
There is a huge discrepancy right now in male-female relations in India and China due to the one-child policy. And so there's men that have never had a relationship with a woman, sexual or otherwise, and in India and China. And that's increasing kidnappings.
Yes.
Rape. Gang rape in India. And other horrific crimes against women. So I believe that legalized and safe sex work would help to alleviate some of these issues with the gender disparity there.
I agree.
So I actually have empathy, and I'm not just saying like, yay, prostitutes.
You could say both.
DJ's saying yay, prostitutes.
I'm saying yay, prostitutes, and I have empathy.
I'm saying that there's a reason behind my viewpoint. I'm not just like saying random shit.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever a question, right? I think that we talk about these subjects because we care about them.
With me, maybe, but I hear a lot of people saying random shit on Twitter, on social media. I hear a lot of people that have opinions, and their opinions aren't necessarily backed with facts or statistics or any type of information whatsoever.
Yeah, it's usually backed with stupidity, right? Like, it's not.
So I hate Jordan Peterson. I think he's awful and a pseudo-intellectual, but he did say something in one of his books that I did agree with, where he said most people really don't have an original thought. They're just regurgitating other people's opinions.
Remember, a broken clock is right twice a day.
So I did like that quote from him. I thought that was really, really cool. Yeah, watching some of these documentaries on the women in China and India who are having a really hard time right now because of there's a lot of it's not called catcalling, it's something else.
In China?
In India.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Where the little schoolgirls can't walk to school because they're getting harassed because the men are so amped up with no outlet. And Eve calling.
Oh,
it's called Eve calling. And it's also happening in China because of the gender disparity. You know, there's, I don't know if that's the right word, but because there's so many men and there's so few women, there's a lot of cases of rape and other assaults and things. And I think those guys just need to get laid.
Yeah. Bring out the robots.
What do you think about, before we wrap up, what do you think about the sex brothel robots?
I'm all for it, especially particularly for the reasons you mentioned with China and India, where I forgot what the ratio is. The ratio is crazy.
It's really crazy.
Yeah, like it's something like 100 to 1.
In some villages, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, people have, I mentioned people sleep, eat, and fuck. Those are the things that
they have urges.
Yeah, they have urges. That's the thing that we are here on this planet to do as animals. So, I'm all for it. I think that will, if it protects women, like if it keeps those kids safe walking to school, let's get those robots in gear.
Have you had sex with a sex robot?
Not yet. I want to. I'm curious because I want to write about it. Like, it's one of those things.
I want to have sex with a sex robot too. I want to have, not the male one. I want to have a threesome with the female sex robot because I'm just really curious how they feel.
Yes.
And I just want to touch them and like see, like I'm just really, really curious, like what do they look like and like how do they feel? I'm just genuinely curious.
Yeah, no, that's sort of the way I see it. Like I am legitimately curious how this works, what it looks like, what it feels like. This is something that we'll see in the future. So if I'm going to write about stuff like this, I should at least try it at least once.
Well, we got to wrap up. Yes. What is going on with you? How can people find you?
Oh, so fun fact. I've been plugging the Patreon in all these episodes, but I got rid of the Patreon.
Oh, my gosh.
Just recently. So now everyone listening to this is go to patreon.com/BJ Mendelsohn and find nothing. I just decided to scale back a little bit because I'm overwhelmed with producing content and I just can't maintain any more content production than what I'm doing now. So right now you can just find me on Twitter and Instagram at BJ Mendelsohn. Instagram used to be a personal thing, but I'm being pushed to use it. So feel free to follow me, Instagram.com/BJ Mendelsohn.
And I am on Twitter at Funny Rosie. Guys, this has been Rosie and BJ Save the World. Check out my other podcast, Dirty Change with Tommy Pistol, a sex education podcast for regular folks like you and me. I'm Rosie Tran and my lovely...
Oh, thank you. Well, now you can actually say that because I'm here in person.
In studio host, co-host BJ Mendelsohn. This has been Rosie and BJ Save the World.